is the triple gem is the Buddha, his teachings, and the community. Maybe can you talk a little bit today about the community, especially beginning meditators, how that would work?
So when we just think about you, can you live by yourself? And you have seen some kids, even some people, who feel lonely, especially kids. They have toys. Then they are talking to toys, at least for toys, if they don't have anything else. Then really we like a community. Or we like a family. We like a community. But you choose a community that think like you. You have similar qualities, similar thoughts, similar habits. If you go to live in a different country, I'm sure you will find Americans. The reason, you like to find people who came from same culture and who has similar celebrations, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day. Once that you do certain things on those days, you feel that brings something to you. It brings happiness. Then there you find comfortable zone or comfortable area to live. And now think about those people who's studying certain area. If you move to a new town, lawyers like to live around lawyers. Doctors like to live around doctors. Because you have some similar thought, habits, professions. That's what we look for. When you talk about community, again, community has the same thing. Similar thoughts, similar habits. There's a huge reason behind it. The most important reason is, once when you live around the people who can understand you, it makes you very easy to do certain things. Very comfortable. They understand your language. Sometimes you don't understand lawyer's language. Sometimes you don't understand doctor's language. Sometimes you don't understand monk's language. Not only thoughts, the language also common to them. Now, with the Buddhist teachings, first of all, we need to understand, when you talk about this kind of community, we need to understand about Buddha. Buddha is not just a person. Buddha is a result of many activities. But these activities led him to do something different. What is this difference? Everybody in the world, they are trying to find happiness in a different way than the Buddha. Just see, if you want to bring happiness into yourself, what do you want to earn? What do you do? In the current time of the world, people think, we think, you will be happy if you have enough money. Of course, if you have enough money, then you can buy a very good house, very good car, and all of those things you can get, you can buy. Now think about those people who has those things. The good example is, think about the people who's living in Hollywood. Are they happy? And then they have a lot of troubles. Now the people who's in power, even they cannot walk on the street like you do. They need security. They are living in the fear. But people who's not there always thinks, you will be happy if you have those things, power and money. Money was a part of the power today. That is how people trying to bring happiness into their life. Buddha is a person who choose a different way by understanding that I cannot fulfill myself, I cannot have happiness just by having money. Then he gave up that desire to seek pleasure. Seek power. Now when people do that, usually people hang around the other side, which means people do things against the power. People do things against the money. And you just leading suffering life or painful life. If I bring an example, if somebody think, well, I'm using a very comfortable shoes and good cars for my comfort, therefore I work against it, then that person would walk on the street without shoes. That way that kind of harm would bring into the body. And that person would walk on the warm weather without shirt or without clothes, burning the head or burning the body. That is another extreme, people giving hard time to their body. But most, we cannot find that kind of people in a common world. It's very rare, very small percentage of people, they have choose to experience suffering in order to have happiness. Then Buddha is the person who first recognized, I cannot fulfill myself choosing on those directions. Then he began to experiment with his own mind to find out how one can achieve happiness. What is the happiness? How one can satisfy oneself? When this person began to look inner self, began to recognize what is the meaning of myself or what am I doing? There, this person recognized the connection in between the outside and inside. Then learned how to not to bring this outside into me and turn that into suffering or pain. If I brief it, he recognized I create the pain. I am the creator of the pain. I let desire to create pain within me. Then as a person who recognized that, he bought a teaching that anybody can follow. So these teachings came with his own experience, investigating by his own mind and his own behaviors. Then lot of people who follow that particular teaching, they also could achieve the same happiness. In another way, I'm just teaching you to how to not to act as a puppet. Now puppets means somebody controlling the puppets. Now who's controlling you? Outside. Your bills, paycheck, neighbors, they can drive you crazy. Your kids, spouse, even TV, politicians. Sometimes if you hear some news on the TV, you cannot take that off from your head entire day. It is disturbing you. So now who's controlling you? Who let that news to control you? Who have let the politicians to control you? Can you change anything? Those feelings? Could you change anything? But we think we have to do something. Then you begin to experience stress. Stressful mind. Then we create stress within us, even though you complain others. That is a suffering that we call as a suffering. That's a, by one word, you describe all of those things, the suffering. Now the teaching help us to cultivate mindfulness and see yourself and eliminate the suffering. So then this is not something that you can understand or you can become in one day or in one moment. Yeah, you need to prepare yourself, you need to practice yourself. Once when you begin to practice yourself, you have to have support from outside. If you have support, that would be really easy, very easy. Therefore, encourage to create, build and support for the community who's following this kind of path. That community we call as Sangha. There are two layers of the Sangha. One layer that we call the people, everybody who's practicing. Everyone who's concerning and practicing and doing things in order to cultivate the mind by using the same dispatch, particular teachings. The second layer that we call the monks and the nuns. So, but most important part is, once when you count somebody as a Sangha or recognize somebody as a Sangha, there's few qualities that person is maintaining, few qualities. The first quality is the person who has thirst to learn about own self. The second quality is the person who's genuinely sharing unconditional love with own self and others. Then you have intention to share the genuine unconditional love within you and with others. Third one, the person who's willing to, who's open to recognize all mistakes and have other support to help you to recognize your own mistakes. You might have familiar with this in even some monasteries, especially this is in Zen type Japanese monasteries. When people are meditating, one teacher supposed to walk behind those people with a stick. If somebody is kind of falling sick or doing something wrong, this teacher using this stick can beat that person and whip that person. So then you're supposed to say thank you just for reminding you to awake. Or you to straighten your back. So if I bring into some other cultures, when somebody else point out your mistake, you always say thank you for letting me know this. Even though you think that person is wrong, you're supposed to say thank you, because that person care to mention you something according to that person, that can be wrong or right, but still that person care to mention you this. Once when you say thank you, what is happening? You are automatically cultivating the humbleness, because humbleness is a huge tool to understand this teaching. That's another reason that we respect to the Buddha. We know that Buddha is not here anymore, that he is just a metal or plaster Paris or something, just statue. Even this first Buddha statue came to world 280 years after the Buddha. Then this should not be exactly Buddha's picture. But why are we using that? To practice the humbleness. Just respect others. Even the other person is wrong, so first you say thank you. Then that you will begin to see what is happening with yourself. That is a major quality of the Sangha. Once when you act like that, then there's no conflict happening in between Sangha, no fight. Because you are not boasting your ego. First you are listening, you are helping each other to grow. It is very important to have a group and people who support you. And the other thing is, the major quality of the Sangha, usually when you think about us, we want others to help you and support you. Just simply think about love. When you think about love, you want your family to love you, your kids to love you, your parents to love you. But most of the time we don't think, how do I love them? What do I do for them? I'm not saying everybody and all the time. Most of the time we are not thinking that. But the quality of the Sangha always thinking how to help others. Therefore, you are generating three major qualities, habits within you. Generosity, loving kindness, and wisdom. Actually, wisdom comes with the openness. You are just open to others. You are open to yourself. You are becoming a listener. So if you happen to live with that kind of community, you are safe. That is the community we call the Sangha. I like to bring one simple fact. Now you can see all of those kind of communities around the world. Today you say the societies or alumni or member, all these societies. But among the Sangha, once when you call among the Sangha, you can see there's no reason to feel unsafe. Because it is not about the one person or one particular person's idea. Because of the openness that you are carrying, you always just questioning yourself and questioning others, and you feel open. Therefore, nobody say, hey, I'm the only right person and you are the wrong person and just believe my path or just do whatever I say. That is against this community of the Sangha. Even Sangha can question the Buddha and Buddha's teachings. And you don't think anybody is perfect. You are encouraged not to think anybody is perfect. Therefore, you are open to see what it is. Then you are the person who's recognizing those things. Even Buddha himself said, do not believe even what I say. You have a job. Your job is think, why do you believe it? Why do you want to think? The responsibility comes back to us. It helps you to recognize who you are, and it helps you to power yourself. Powering yourself. But if you live in a community like that, that is community, and we call the noble community. One time, the Buddha's attendant, in today's language I would say Buddha's secretary, Venerable Ananda, he asked the Buddha, Venerable Sir, I think all this community of Sangha exist because of the friendliness, and this teaching is surviving and maintaining because of the Sangha. Buddha said, no, not just 50%, entire 100%. It's surviving because of the Sangha. Because if we are not benefited, we don't want to practice this and we don't want to share this. And the other way, who's benefited these teachings and this practice, that is you. Your compassion definitely will bring happiness to you, not to somebody, before somebody else. Your forgiveness, your wisdom brings happiness to you before bring happiness to and comfort somebody else. So therefore, your own happiness, you better to practice. Then you are the person who can put yourself into the community of Sangha, and also you are the person who can take yourself out from the community of Sangha. Did I raise any other questions or any thought?
You mentioned compassion. How do you use the metta?
Well, metta practice goes again with the two major layers. The one layer, you are using your thoughts and the words. First, because in words we are very, very familiar with. Then every day, if I bring an example, every day after breathing meditation, we just merging into the metta practice, which is may I be well, happy, may all living beings be well, happy, and peaceful, skillful. So now, those are things we like. We like those things. We like to become be well and happy and peaceful, all of those things. But here we are thinking about all living beings. Now imagine if you are well, happy, skillful and joyful and all, if you have all of those things, you don't have any pain. Then if your family members have all of those things, then you will not have pain from them. And also you are living in a very happy environment. You are the one who's benefited this first. Therefore then you wish equal joy, equal happiness for all of your family members. Now think about the other layer, neighbors. If they act properly and if they do all of those things happily and if they are very joyful, what happened? Then your environment, everybody is happy. Because of them you will not become unhappy. World, and now you can think about everything. And that's the first level. The second layer is this happiness, joy, skillfulness, all of those things are subject to your mind, not really for your body. Your body can become sick, but still you can maintain healthy mind. Because of physical sickness, your mind would not become sick. But maybe you don't have physical sickness, but your mind can become sick. Frustration, anger, anxiety, all of those things are sickness. Even fear, greedy. But if you're free from those things, you have this freedom. You have joy. In the second layer, that is what you are wishing for everybody. Then you are just preparing your heart to accept that happiness for everybody. When you think about lottery winning, you want you to win the lottery winning, even though you don't buy lottery. You don't wish your neighbors to win that. But in this case, without any doubt, you wish all of living beings to experience, become skillful and happy and joyful. That is how you prepare your heart and yourself. So it's really helped you to have a rich self. Now, result of that, no matter what happened outside, that will not make you angry. If I answer the question, I use those words to practice loving kindness, but only at the very beginning I use those words. Then I just feel how myself is cultivating these loving thoughts with all living beings without any boundary. But it's a technique. Usually we say start with you and just go to outside, family, neighbors, friends, and those people even you like and you don't like, and all living beings, because it is very easy to share something with your family before you share it with the neighbors. Now this is something very you like, very important and rich, so then you are sharing those things with others. So therefore you are preparing yourself to accept this boundless friendliness. And the other thing, that is major tool for Sangha. There's a kind of funny story. If you know the Buddhist history, around the 1900, actually beginning of 1900, Buddha's in India, the place that Buddha got enlightened, we call as Bodh Gaya. Bodh Gaya was owned by Hindus, since Hindus respect Buddha as one of their god, and they kept that place. So anyhow, at that time, one of Sri Lankan man, and he wanted to open this place for Buddhist community, and he went to India and he fight for that. I hope that fight is not with the compassion, because nobody can fight with compassion. Anyway, at that time India and Sri Lanka was colonized by British. So this man even have arranged some rights and so many things in Sri Lanka, and then the Sri Lankan government at that time, they didn't like this man very much. Anyhow, this man went to India, then there he organized those rites and many activities to get this place back to Buddhist community. Then in this particular story, he was house arrest before organized huge riot. So then the Sri Lankan side, the Sri Lankan government sent a group of the police to back to India to take this man back to Sri Lanka, because they want to bring this man to court for some cases what he did in Sri Lanka. So then he heard this news. He heard that police is coming here to take me back to Sri Lanka. So then he knew that a police officer who's coming is really angry with him, and he's not good with him. He thought he will give me a very hard time. Then his friends encouraged him to practice loving kindness, even for this person. He said, hey, you are now fighting to take something back to Buddhist community, but you are not practicing this. You need to practice loving kindness. Then the method that they use, he was given a photo of this police officer who he really hate, and then then ask him to think, may you be well, something like that, sending loving friendliness thoughts. Then when he take the picture, he hate him that much, he just tear the picture, throw it away. That happened few times. Then he thrown away few pictures away, because he hate this police officer. So by the midnight, he managed to look at this person's face, genuinely began to practice loving kindness. Following the morning, this police officer came with the, another group of the police, has mentioned to him that we are here to take you to Sri Lanka, but somehow today I feel you like my father. I don't have enough energy to drag you and take you with me, with custody. Then I will send a message to the Sri Lanka government that you are here. Whenever they want you for something, we will send you, but we will keep you in house arrest. So I read this in his book, and he said this is the first time he used loving kindness for his own benefit. I have heard so many stories like that, but this is a very an attractive story, and he's the man who haven't practiced meditation before. He was a man who has fight with things and with angry and with British. He had a lot of anger against the British government. And if you have read his written notice and all those books are really based on anger. But even this man could bring loving kindness into his life. So that's how he really started to practice the teachings of the Buddha. So therefore he trusts himself, I can do it. That's what's really important. Even that, we need that for even practice meditation. You can do and come and sit down. Like you did today, wonderful.